The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We should acknowledge, of course, that lots of people in Europe are firmly focused on the Euros in Germany. Unfortunately, no Irish involvement, which means we have to console ourselves with memories of participation in big tournaments from years gone by. And those moments, those big moments in those big tournaments, like this very moment, 30 years ago to the day.
Sheridan. Baresi, onto it comes Houghton. And Houghton with the shot, and it's there! Ray Houghton! Bring me back, and I'll do the job for you, Jack. And he's done just that after only 11 minutes. What splendid, sparkling opportunity.
Yes, bring me back and I'll do the job for you, Jack. So said George Hamilton when Ray Houghton put the ball in the Italian net in USA 94 Giant Stadium. We all remember where we were. I'm delighted to say that George Hamilton is with me, as is Ray Houghton himself. Gentlemen, you're both very, very welcome. Ray, has a week gone by in the last 30 years where somebody hasn't reminded you of that goal?
Yeah. Well, you're quite right. And it's great, you know, to have memories like that. What an exceptional day it was, you know, going to the stadium, being told that there was going to be 75% of the supporters were going to be Italian, only 25% were Irish. It was anything but that. The fans were there in their droves to come and support us. That gave us a major boost going into the game. But it was just a great memory, you know, scoring the goal. We just heard George's commentary of it. And going over, trying to get to my family who were in the stands, but couldn't because the boys were jumping all over me, like Roy Keane and Terry feeling that. So it was a fantastic day.
So talk us through then the goal itself. I mean, was this a kind of a, God, the ball has sat up nicely, I'm in a nice position, hit and hope, or did you spot the Italian keeper off his line and think, you know, there's a gap there? To tell us about it.
All right, do you want the true version?
Yeah, give us the true version.
Yeah, well, as the ball got played forward, Baresi tried to cushion a header down to one of his teammates, and I sort of anticipated it. I chested it down. My first reaction was to play out wide left to Steve Staunton, but he was marked. So there was no other real options on, and I just thought, why not? That's what I went through. Why not? I just give it a hit and see what happened. And it's amazing, your thought process, because initially when I shot, I thought it was going over the bar. I thought I hit it too hard. My second thought was the keeper's going to save it. And the third one was it's gone in the back of the net, and then I didn't know what to do. I did that silly forward roll, the gamble, I think it's called in Birmingham, for the celebration, which I did not remember doing after the game, but it was a joyous moment.
As I say, George Hamilton is with us as well. George, we heard your description of it, and much like the goal, people will remember the description. Talk us through your own experience.
Well, that was a very interesting day because it was not like a football stadium that we would be used to. It was Giant Stadium in New Jersey, and there they do it the American way, obviously. So they don't have commentary positions in the grandstand. They have commentators' booths, which are behind glass. Now, at the time, Niall Quinn was missing from the Irish squad because he was injured, so RTE engaged him as a co-commentator. And there he was, alongside me, squeezed into this glass booth in temperatures that must have been pushing 100 Fahrenheit. And that is my biggest memory of the day, beyond Ray's goal and Paul McGrath and Paddy Bonner and the way they played. But it is seared into my memory, and probably because of the heat that there was in that commentary booth as opposed to box. It's just one of those things that I can't think of Ray's goal without thinking of how uncomfortable the whole 90 minutes was.
Not just for you, for some of the players on the pitch. And we all remember that World Cup. One of the things we remember from it was just the heat and the humidity and the players struggling with it. Did you struggle with it, Ray?
Yeah, absolutely. It was, I think, the game that we played down in Orlando when we played against Mexico, and particularly the timing of that game as well. I mean, the Mexicans were so used to playing in temperatures like that, whereas we weren't. And I remember we had plastic bags of water positioned all around the ground. I actually got booked for picking up one of the bags and chasing after one of the Mexican players, and the referee booked me for it. I blamed Jack, as I normally did, because he was the one that told me to do it.
The moment when a goal goes in like that, George, how conscious are you of how iconic it may or may not be in the years ahead? The other example is another goal, of course, by Ray Houghton in Euro 88. But when goals like that go in, are you conscious in the moment, my God, this is one now that people are going to remember? And not only that, they're going to remember what I say about it.
No. That comes later. You can't possibly prepare yourself for moments like that because they happen spontaneously and you react spontaneously to what has happened in front of you. Ray's goal in Stuttgart, exactly the same. Yes, of course, you try to match the moment with appropriate words. But look, it was an early goal in Stuttgart. It was an early goal in Giants Stadium. Who knows how the match might have played out? And if Ireland hadn't won those two matches, there's no way those goals would have become the icon of goal scoring that they are. And I'm sure Ray would agree with that because every goal is in context. Those were winners. But at 5 minutes into the game, you don't know it's going to be a winner. You can't be preparing the clip for posterity at 5 minutes into a game because you don't know what's going to happen afterwards.
That is a very good point, actually. And Ray, maybe people with 30 years having come and gone might forget just the sheer pressure that you were under as a team for the remaining 85 minutes. Tell me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, Italy went on to get to the final, didn't they? You know, but we owed them one because we lost four years before that, didn't we, in the quarterfinals of the World Cup to them. So we were ready for a bit of revenge, if you like. But yes, it was very tough in those conditions. But George mentioned it earlier. There was one player, we all played well, but there was one player who was absolutely outstanding, and that was Paul McGrath.
Yeah.
On that day, Franco Baresi said that was the best, I think his words were, that was the best centre-half display he'd seen from a player, and that's a, you know, a big statement from a world-class player. But that's how good Paul was that day. He was absolutely exceptional. Some of the stuff that he did and the clearances, injured, and he was like, he was about 50-60% fit.
I thought you were about to say he was about 50 or 60 years old. He was about 36, I think. He was fairly old, but not quite 50 or 60. His shoulder was gone, wasn't that right?
His shoulder was in really bad condition. I mean, most players wouldn't have played. I've got to be honest with you, most players were just saying, not for me, but not Big Paul. He had that fantastic attitude, that great belief, and he had a real rapport with Jack. And I think when Jack asked him, Paul was never going to turn him down. He was ready for whatever came his way, but the performance he put on at the back there was absolutely sensational.
Those goals, as you know, George, as you say, I guess you have to remember that a goal is taken in context, and we went on to win those games, so we remember them. But then people, because of that, remember where they were. And I was a bit young for Stuttgart, but I absolutely remember USA 94. We were on a camping holiday in France and jumping up and down in some campsite in Normandy, and the English family behind me, their dad shouting that his granny was Irish claiming ownership of this goal, some ownership of it. The atmosphere, though, at that tournament in general, George, what was it like? You know, this is kind of the absolute heady days of success from an international point of view for us.
Oh, yes. And the very fact that, you know, we were thinking New Jersey, full of Italians, of people of Italian extraction. And we got in the stadium and there was precious little blue. It was all green because there were more Irish around that day, it seemed, than there were Italians. And the same thing happened elsewhere. You know, when you go to something like a World Cup, countries like the Netherlands, they present themselves in their orange boiler suits, or the Swedes in yellow shirts. And all of a sudden, after Italian 90, there were green shirts to be seen everywhere you went. And it was the same when the circus moved on down to Orlando, and then they played Mexico, they played Norway, and then sadly the Dutch did for us again in that very hot circumstance down in the southern part of the United States. But the atmosphere around it, I was utterly surprised that it was so good, and it was because so many people had travelled. I wasn't expecting that the United States would be able to host a tournament that would have that kind of atmosphere, but certainly around the stadia and in the venues, there was terrific World Cup atmosphere, and the Irish fans contributed hugely to that.
What Ray, was the attitude or the expectation going on to, as you say, going on to the field? As you say, you kind of owed the Italians one after Scilacci and everything in Italian 90. But people would imagine now, if we were playing the Italians or a side of a similar calibre today, it would be all about maybe kind of snatching a win if we could, or salvaging some sort of draw under severe pressure. I guess the situation was probably a bit different for you guys. I mean, you had a team full of lads playing at kind of the most senior clubs in England.
Yeah, the other factor was, if you looked at, we were qualifying, you know, 88 we qualified, 90 we qualified. We just missed out in 92 without losing the game in qualification in the group stage. We didn't, you know, lose a match. And we were in the same group as England. That's why we didn't get to 92, and then we qualified for 94. So our confidence was extremely high. We were playing really well. And there was a fear factor about playing Ireland at that particular time as well. We didn't lose that many games. We were a very competitive side. but we got the best out of each other, and that's what happened on that day as well.
Mag said, "We had just had our first baby at the end of May 94, and my husband had tickets for that match, but he didn't go. Oh my God, still a huge footy man and a great dad and husband, and doesn't resent the kids at all for it," says Mags. Another listener says, "As much as I loved Ireland winning, I'm a Sampdoria supporter all my life, and it was the Sampdoria keeper, Gianluca Paglucia." Paglucia? Paglisi.
Pagluca, yeah.
There, Pagluca, Pagluca, there you
go.
Ah, that, well, who else would I turn to for how to pronounce an international footballer's name other than George Hamilton? Pagluca in the Italian goal that day. Somebody else was at it. I was there. What a day. Ray Houghton, what a man. And Paul McGrath, brilliant as well. It was a great team. And another listener points out, actually, something that I had forgotten. What a result. Brilliant goal from Ray. Brilliant performance from Paul McGrath. I remember it like it was yesterday. Unfortunately, many in the USA missed it because they were watching the O.J. Simpson car chase. Which I hadn't realised was happening in and around at the same time. My 90-year-old father got a trip to Giants Stadium through work. His one and only international match. To this day, he talks about Paul McGrath and how he was Phil Babb's puppeteer, directing his every movement. And by directing, Babb was able to let him do the running while saving his legs for the other stuff he did. Yeah. That is delegation for you. Listen, George, it's been an absolute blast catching up with you. I really enjoyed it, and I know everybody listening will have enjoyed it as well. 30 years ago to the day since that iconic goal in Giant Stadium. Ray Houghton, George Hamilton, thank you both very, very much. Kathy says, "I remember it. 1994, I was driving on the main Dublin-Belfast road. During the match, I didn't see a single car for the duration of the 90 minutes. Very, very weird," says Kathy. Kathy, thank you for the text. 087 1400 106. What a way to start the show. What a way to start the show, remembering that one of the more iconic moments from Irish sporting history.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.